Good morning. I want to thank Aiden for reading that scripture reading for us. We're going to be back in that passage here at the towards the end of our lesson. But if you want to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, we're going to jump back into this topic that we started at the beginning of the month. We are considering the idea of discipleship, of growing in our discipleship towards Christ, that we are going to be growing in our discipline of a Christian life. And in that first lesson, what we talked about was how discipleship is a path towards victory. And it is victory over our fleshly lives. There were two options that we brought up in that view, and that is that we could either serve the flesh or we can serve the Spirit. And what God tells us is through this battle that is raging, you can overcome. You can overcome the flesh. You can choose to walk by the Spirit to be led. And as you walk through your life and you feel that tug, you feel that conflict going on in your life, that reminds us that the battle is still being waged. There is still a battle that is going on. We have to fight that battle. But it also reminds us that we have victory in the battle as well. It is attainable. It's not found by trying to somehow marry these two things together, the flesh and the Spirit. That, in fact, doesn't work because they're opposed to one another. But instead, as we put off the old man in Christ, we allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit, we find victory. And so as Paul continues his thought, we're going to pick back up in chapter 5 and start reading in verse 19 through about verse 21. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the thing that I really want you to take away from this lesson this morning, we're going to just go ahead and get it right out of the way. This is what I want you to see as we read this list, is it is obvious. That's what Paul starts off there saying. The works of the flesh are obvious. It is obvious when we're letting the flesh be in the driver's seat. It is obvious when the flesh is what is leading us with its desires. Now, we're going to go through this list, but we're not going to go through it and try to just define every single one of these words. I don't think that was Paul's purpose. Paul hasn't created this comprehensive list that says, all right, you make sure that this isn't happening, and that means you're not being led by the flesh. Because at the end of that list, he says, things like these. Things like these. So that tells me this is not a comprehensive list. You know what's not on this list? Murder. Paul didn't mention murder at all here, but I'm pretty sure if you go and you murder somebody, the flesh is the one that's driving that, not the Spirit. So we shouldn't read this as some sort of comprehensive list, but we should read this to say, Paul is telling us it is obvious whenever you're not being led by the Spirit. It is obvious when that is going on in your life. And he does mention some things that I think we need to take attention to and recognize that could be something that is going on in my life right now that I need to be aware of. The first one that I want to look at just for a moment is sexual impurity. Sexual impurity is obvious, and he uses three words to convey this when he talks about it: immorality, impurity, and sensuality. These three words convey the idea of sensual or sexual activity that is outside of the marriage. Now again, we're not going to go through and define all that, but what I do hope to do is reflect on it. Does my life show that I am obviously walking in the flesh because of sexual impurity? And what I found in our lives is we are very great at justifying things. And so we might say, that's a sexual relationship outside of my own marriage. That is obvious. You're walking in sin. You're walking in the fleshly desires. But I'm not doing that. So no, that is not driving me in any way. As I said, we have this ability to justify and excuse things. Maybe I'm not involved in those relationships, but am I watching those relationships? Again, we might think of things like pornography use and say that is very obvious. You are letting your fleshly desires drive you, but no, I'm not engaged in pornography use either. But what about just watching things like this on, maybe it's not on some pornographic site or so, through some sort of media that shows that, but it's through our regular television shows, our streaming services, the movies that we go and watch, that is going to, you know, they covered everything up, but that's what we're watching and that's what's happening. I think we need to take a moment to consider who's driving us when I am engaging in this form of entertainment that I get pleasure from, seeing people that are engaged in things that are sinful, certainly as our topic, sexual impurity. If I'm watching shows because the people in them are going to take some of their clothes off, if I'm watching shows because I have a desire for the actors or the actresses or the things that are going on in that reality TV show, if that's what's driving me to watch this, Paul says it is obvious that's not the Spirit leading me. And I need to pay attention. I need to be aware of the desires of the flesh. Another one that he brings up in this that I think might be obvious to us is sorcery. You go, yeah, that is obvious. If there's somebody going around with a pointy hat cursing people left and right, that is not something the Spirit is leading them to do. That's not what that word means, though. So the word sorcery comes from a Greek word that's pharmakia. And what I would want you to think is a little bit less Harry Potter and a little bit more pot smoker. That was the idea of pharmakia. Now, I want to say before we go any further, sometimes well-meaning people will take pharmakia and recognize the connection to pharmacy and say, God said medicine is sinful. That's not what pharmakia was in the Greek sense. Medicine is to heal and to help restore the body, to work as it's supposed to. But pharmakia was more of the sense of causing harm or causing a masking effect over top of our problems. If you were in the first century day, you might go to someone who would create a concoction, a substance that you could give to somebody that might cause harm to them. Maybe you're in competition with them. I'm going to kind of just take that competition out of the way. Maybe I don't like them, and so I'm going to poison them in some way. These substances are the idea behind pharmakia. Another idea behind pharmakia was the idea that I have got an unwanted pregnancy, and I'm going to take a substance that's going to take that problem away from me. And when we think about it that way, maybe now we go, obviously, our world is still involved in pharmakia. In fact, probably the greatest usage of that word was to use it to describe people that had problems but just didn't want to deal with them. So they would take something, a substance that would just help them to rise above that. Rise above it and not feel the weight and the effects of the problems that were in their lives. In that sense, Paul writes to us and says, Be aware that if you are trying to overcome and mask your problems with substances that are going to just take the edge off of things, are going to take your problems and try to remove them from your life in some way, that's not Spirit-led. That's the desires of the flesh prompting you to go that route, to mask your problems or alter your state of mind. Another one that he mentions here is jealousies and selfishness. And as with others that are mentioned here, we need to look at this and see that what he's driving us towards is still something that is obvious. Maybe we see our neighbor, they pull into the parking lot and they have that brand new truck. And you're like, oh man, how is it that they get a new truck and I don't? Or it's that family, it's like went on their vacation for the umpteenth time this year. And you're going, well, they get to travel all around the world and I never get to leave Somerset. It's just not fair. I'm not so unhappy that they get to do that and I don't. Please note the way that I'm talking about that too, by the way. This jealousy and envy, it's not that I recognize somebody has something nice, but I'm mad that they have it because I don't have it. I'm not experiencing that. And Paul is telling us in those moments, please see that the flesh is driving that thought, not the Spirit. But I think connected to that, we might be sitting here going, well, that is not me. I do not have those thoughts. I'm just happy as can be for the people around me that get to do things that are nicer than me. But when we get to do something nice, do we kind of talk about it or brag about it? No, we wouldn't say that. We just post about it all over social media because I kind of want somebody to feel like that towards me. Like, look what I got to do that you didn't get to do. Now, certainly we wouldn't say it that way. But if that's the way we're thinking about it, Paul says it is obvious who is driving there. It is obvious who we are following, and it is not the Spirit, it is the flesh. Now, there's a couple more on here that I would love to highlight. Things like drunkenness and carousing. Talks about how obvious it is when our fleshly desire for alcohol is out of control. Talk about outbursts of anger. Boy, That's one we could talk about. Husbands and wives, that's one we could think about. How do we respond? We respond by slamming doors and screaming. Who's in control there? Is that the spirit that's leading us, or is that our fleshly desires that are leading us? The last one I want to talk about is one I think maybe hits even a little bit closer to home. Dissensions and factions. We live in a perfect time for these works of the flesh to play out and breed the fruit that they breed so well. Division. That's what dissension and faction creates, division. And we are being taught and we are being molded by a culture to see that it is acceptable to hate people who don't agree with you. And we will look at our political realm for a minute. And first of all, Paul talks a little bit about this idea of hate when we get into outbursts of anger and jealousies and disputes. The underlying notion of hate for those people, hate for someone that has more than me, has something better than me, is kind of woven into that. But we talk about how it's acceptable that you might hate people in our government. Maybe you hate our president, and then what you're going to do is you're going to try to get other people to hate him as well so that we can make sure he doesn't get elected again and the right president gets elected. And when I say that's be taught to us as an acceptable thing, I said our culture, but I probably should have said our Christian culture. People who proclaim to be Christians, who talk about our leaders and our governors and the people that are set over us in very hateful ways. And when COVID first began, what happened? We flocked to our parties. There were those that said, I am pro-mask, and those who said, I'm anti-mask. Those who said, I'm pro-vaccine, and those who said, I'm anti-vaccine. We are so good at creating factions and saying, if you're not a part of my faction, you're wrong. You're less important. How many times have you heard someone say, I just really hope that all the people that believe that will not have children, and so we don't have to have that belief in the world anymore. Her people express that idea. This is this very idea that we have a faction, and I hold to my faction as the one thing, and I'm going to do everything I can to persuade you from yours because I think I'm right, and I think you're wrong. Because I think I'm better, and I think you're worse. This isn't a new phenomenon. Before COVID, it was public school versus homeschool. Which one, you let your kid go to public school? Or your child is a homeschooler? They're going to be weird. All the different things that I've heard people to look at public school, there's no way they're going to be holy. That's the faction. That is dissension that is talking there. That is what's leading that conversation. We need to not let that sort of communication come out of us. Before that, we track it even further back. We're going to find ourselves all the way at Corinth going, you follow who? Paul? I'm not a follower of Paul. Listen to the way he talks. You need to be following Apollos. We have just been, it's been bred into us, it seems, that we create factions and parties create division. Going back before that, it was the apostles. They said, who's going to be the greatest? How can you think it's you? It's going to be me. Before that, it was Israel. It was men going, why should Moses be the one to lead us? I want everyone to see that I can be the leader as well. And in those moments, what Paul is bringing us to see is it is obvious. It is obvious when there is fleshly gratification going on. And Paul has told us, you can stop this. Verse 16 of what we've been reading, Galatians 5. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. You can stop. But what I find interesting is that's not what he says in verse 21. That's not what he says as he goes into this list. Instead of, you can stop this, what he says is, see where this is leading you. Instead, he says, remember what I have warned you about. The lifestyle of fleshly gratification. Remember the way he said it. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He doesn't say you need to stop doing those things. We need to stop doing those things. That is implied in the message. But that's not how Paul ends this. But you know what? Y'all see it? It's obvious. It's wrong. Cut it out. No, he says, look at where it's leading you. That's what this passage is talking about. being led. Led by the Spirit or led by our fleshly desires. See the end result. See where it's taking you. That's what Paul really wants to stress. It's not just here's a list of things that you shouldn't be doing. I want to get everybody into this bubble that looks like what God says it looks like, and that'll result in good behavior. No, he says, you don't have to follow the flesh. We're going to talk a little bit about the flesh, but we're going to end telling you, where is the flesh leading you? Where is that going to result in your life? Because your flesh is going to say, you know what? Watch that show. You're not engaged in those activities, and it's not pornographic. It's okay. The flesh is going to say, you go ahead, take that pill, drink that drink, post the post, or cut down this person and make yourself feel better about what you believe and what you think is best. Paul says, go ahead, live like that. What you will have lost is the one thing that can truly fulfill you. Because what you will have lost is the kingdom of God. What you will have lost is heaven. I told you, growing up, there was a slogan of the preacher where I grew up at, and I think it's a good slogan. He'd say, if you missed heaven, you've missed everything. Paul is telling them, look at what... These things are obvious, the desires of the flesh. And they're desires of the flesh because they appeal to our fleshly nature. This will make you feel good. This will make you happy. This is going to give you what you want. And he says, that's not true. Because if you appeal to the nature of the flesh and allow it to lead you, it is not leading you to where God is. It is not leading you to heaven. So how do we turn that around? I get us caught up in just a minute. I apologize. How do we turn that around? To turn it around, he talks about belonging to Christ. Look at verses 24 and 25. We're going to jump down a little bit. We'll talk about these fruits more. When we turn it around, how do we know we've turned it around? He's like, well, fruit starts growing up in your life. You'll start having this fruit that shows that I am led by the Spirit. We're going to talk about those later. But in verse 24, he says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Those who follow Christ have crucified the flesh and follow the Spirit. These words are intense words. Those who belong to Christ must put to death. Those who belong to Christ must execute. Those who belong to Christ must kill the flesh. That's the idea that he gives to us when we see this idea of crucify. That means I'm going to execute fleshly desires in my life. For the desire for someone to think highly of me, I'm going to execute that. The desire to have... whatever it is my heart is lusting after, I'm going to execute that. I'm going to crucify it. I'm going to nail that to a cross. We are crucifying the flesh's desire to lash out in anger against those who don't treat us as we feel we deserve to be treated. We are crucifying the flesh's desire to feel physical intimacy with those we don't have a right to experience. Paul is saying you want to see the fruit of a Spirit-led life. And you have to kill the things that are choking it out. And that terminology there, when we maybe think about it that way, you want to have the fruit of a Spirit-led life, you have to kill the fleshly things that are choking it out. Maybe you begin to think about agriculture. Maybe you begin to think about your gardens at home. And you go, you know, my tomato plants don't grow good fruit because of the weeds that grow up in them. And I have to go out there regularly and pluck those weeds out. And if I don't do that after a while, there's weeds everywhere and I don't have a good crop. And even after I do that regularly, sometimes weeds kind of come back and I have to constantly be watching my garden, tending to the garden. That's something that God gave instruction to man from the very beginning. I'm tending the garden to make sure that the fruit that's growing up is fruit that is reflecting God's nature, God's character. And so we're going to have to pull weeds. We can't allow them to grow together because they're both fighting for the same thing. The crop and the weed is fighting over the nutrients that are in the ground. And so they're at war with one another over this. Likewise, the spirit is at war with the flesh. And so we have to crucify the flesh to live a life which bears the fruit of the spirit. And this looks like those who gain victory as a disciple of Christ look like this, people who belong to Christ. And so maybe the real question should be for us today is, do I belong to Christ? I don't want what is obviously going to remove my inheritance in the kingdom of God. I don't want something that is going to separate me from the Father. I don't want something that is going to cause me to miss out on an eternity with God. So I need to belong to Christ. Do I belong to Him? In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, this is where we kind of ended things last week. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. And there God says, through the mouthpiece of Paul, he says that if you are led by the Spirit, you belong as children of God. Romans 8, verse 14. We'll look at that verse together. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. But I want to read just a little bit more of the context of that, what Aidan read for us at the beginning of services, back in verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God. Remember, these are warring against one another, right? The mind of the flesh is hostile towards God. It does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. Do you belong to Christ? That's the question that we're trying to determine. Paul's answer to that is only if the Spirit of Christ is in you. Have you received the Spirit? You might recall a time when Paul was on a journey and he came across some disciples of John and he asked them if they had received the Spirit. And they didn't know what he was talking about. So what did he do? He went back to Acts chapter 2, right? He quoted that. Well, he didn't have Acts chapter 2 to quote. But he took him back to the mentality of Acts chapter 2. What is that? What is the mentality of Acts chapter 2? It is people who have been led by fleshly desire. That's what's happened. That put Jesus on a cross and he was crucified. And when they came to realize this is where our flesh has led us to killing the Son of God, they said, what do we do? Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter's response is, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And what are you going to receive? It's the part of that verse we just ignore and don't like to talk about. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This gift of the Spirit of God. The gift which says, according to Paul in Romans chapter 8, that marks you as I belong to Christ. His Spirit is in me. And if I belong to Him and His Spirit is in me, I'm not living like for the flesh anymore. I'm living for the Spirit. And if my mind is set on spiritual things, my body is going to follow in spiritual ways. Do we belong to Christ today? Only if the Spirit of Christ is within you. The Bible makes it clear that can be true for you today. The Bible makes it clear you can overcome the desire of the flesh and put on Christ in baptism to receive forgiveness of your sins. The Bible makes it clear you can be filled with His Spirit. It can reside in you. It can lead you. It can strengthen you. It can mark you as someone who belongs to Him. And you can overcome through the Spirit of Christ, through discipleship, through setting yourself and your goals as a life meant to follow Jesus. You can overcome and find victory. If you are here today and that is your desire, to stop letting the flesh lead you and start letting the Spirit of Christ guide you, mark you, forgive you, we want to assist with that. However we can, please come forward. Let's talk about it together as we stand and sing.